Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Lucifer is the single most beautiful thing God ever made. And he's not changed. He's an angel of light. He doesn't puke green stuff. His head doesn't whirl around 360 degrees. His eyeballs don't rub back in his head. He's a liar, though. He is a liar. There's no truth in him. And so what happens if you don't know the truth? You don't know how to judge people. Because I judge people by what the book says. Not about what I feel or whatever. It's like, no, Lucifer, he's beautiful. So, but he's, you know, hell's a hot place. He's going to burn forever. And so sometimes I remember even when you have hard times, like, you know, I'll talk to the devil. I learned earlier from an old preacher I had to, you know, big boy, I'm telling you what, I know you're trying to mess us right now, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to boil forever. You are. You know, we're going to be eating dinner in heaven, saddling our horse. And I'll just tell him, you're going to boil forever. The devil's been whipped. Jesus took the keys of death nail out of his hand. Jesus put his foot on his head in hell, and he emptied paradise out. He's already been whipped, but we don't know. If you don't know that, well, what's the devil doing? No, he's whipped. He's whipped. What he does, though, is he lies. If you don't know the truth, you'll believe the lie. And so we went to the kids. I went and made them have all the things on friendships. You're going to have the most, I told all my kids, you'll be the most popular kid in school, I guarantee you. If you'll listen to me by serving, not being arrogant and show off and lying and bragging about stuff, go serve somebody. And I help you do that. So we went through all the scriptures on friends. You want to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. There is a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. As iron sights iron, strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. If you have a friend, there's somebody who'll tell you the truth. If you love me, tell me the truth. Don't gum flap me. Don't flatter me. Flattery's from the devil. That's not true. What I want is somebody that loves me enough, that will stay faithful, but will tell me the truth. Now, that's what Denise and I were. You know, you realize you learn after a while, after you stop fighting, like, you know. I tell it all the time. People laugh. I said, a spouse is a gift from God to reveal character flaws in your life. Nobody can tell you like a spouse. And so we had to learn how to do that. So Denise and I have to learn how to smile real big. You know, honey, sit down. We need to visit. I said, okay, what is it? Denise be smiling. Well, you've been a real doofus lately. And she'd laugh and she'd make it funny, but she'd tell me the truth. She just wished she'd tell the kids the truth. And they realized, if you want to be encouraged, go see Dad. If you want the truth, go see Mom. Mom won't lie to you. She'll tell you the truth. You know, that just looks stupid on you. You know, what'd you just say? That was the dumbest thing you ever did. Would you study last night? What did you do? I mean, that's a dumb thing. And they would, Mom would just tell them. So they learned, because Mom would never never say anything good. I mean, when Jessica went to the, she won 3-point shooting championship in Oklahoma, and there's a long story to this, but yeah, she's a 3-point shooting champion in Oklahoma her senior year. She's real good, went to this big state tournament, and she wasn't going to go because she didn't get picked first team. She's second team that year, and she's mad. She's not going. So then they said, you're going. Now, you can go dressed, and you can just go whatever you got on, but you're going over there, and you're going to participate. And so Jessica's mad, threw a fit, and Denise took her over there, and I was out of town, and got there and said, you're going to participate. So they have the 3-point shooting competition. I think she got, like, I don't know, 23 out of 25, then 22 out of 25 on the free throw. I mean, she's just knocking the lights out of everything. Nobody even came close. And so she's got these two huge plaques on her wall to this day. Now, she went to college on a basketball scholarship, but she's got those two plaques from the Oklahoma tournament in the shape of Oklahoma about she was number one. And so Denise didn't say a word. She said, I came off the thing. Everybody's clapping. Mom didn't say a word. She wasn't mad. She went up. So got in the car and we left. So we went and get an ice cream. We come back from Oklahoma City. Mom, what'd you think? I think nothing, babe. Should have done that to begin with. It's like Denise expected them to do right. Now, ladies, let me give you an encouragement. We need to cut the verbiage down just a little bit. You're gifted with words. Use them. Use them wisely. And get to the point, okay? Get to the point, ladies. You know, women hit it. They always hint, you know. Well, a wife will say, well, honey, would you like to go over and visit Mom and Dad today? Dear Lord, no, I don't want to go over there. honey, would you like to go shopping? I need a couple of dresses. No, I don't want to go shopping. Go by yourself. And so Denise had to learn, because she grew up in an all-male family, she had to learn how to tell me what to do. Joe, get dressed. We're going to Mom's. Okay? And so I wouldn't argue. I was used to doing what I was told to do. But if you give me an option, I'm taking the other dip. And I always did what she told me. And she learned. And I thought, I didn't realize that until we were doing a seminar, I think about 12 years ago in Kentucky. And I realized, you've been doing that the whole time. I just told you what to do, Joe. You did. Why did I do it? There was no option. There wasn't. Praise God. You're a good wife. So let me close with this story. I've collected stories forever, and I'll close with this. I'm going to pray for you and pray three things. Three things to pray for every family. I'll give this to you. David Wilson crossed the switchblade thing, you know. Pat Boone played the character in the thing. Said he asked everyone his teenagers in the Teen Challenge program in those years, and he asked all those teenagers that were in a mess, drugs, theft, prostitution, you name it, they'd been messed up. And of course, they're in Teen Challenge now, and they're coming out of it. They're born again, getting the Word of God. He said, I asked him one day, I didn't think. He said, how did you get in this mess, this trouble? How did you get involved in prostitution? Did you get involved in theft and drugs? Every teenager without exception gave him the same answer. How did you get involved in this? A friend invited me. When did you steal your first car? A friend invited me. When did you smoke your first joint? A friend gave me one. And we realized something. He said, I realized they don't know what a friend is. A friend, the Bible says a friend is somebody who will die for you, not who will get you killed. A friend will lay down. In your whole life, in your child's whole life, they may have two, maybe three friends. You have a lot of acquaintances, but you won't have any friends. A friend is somebody who will die for you. And boy, you better cherish them. You better take care of them. You better thank God for them. You better pray for them, take care of them and whoever the family is. Friends are rare. So I'll give you this. This is a book written years ago, 1874. True story, 1874. New York had a problem. Prisons were overcrowded. Well, that's nothing new. Prisons were overcrowded in 1874 in New York State. They hired a guy named Dugdale to figure out what to do. He is researching. He said, what's the problem? What's the problem with our society? What is it? And he came back with a report. It's a strange report, and so it's been published several times. He did a study on two families. So what's the problem? So, well, he did a study on two families. First half of the report was a family named Jukes, J-U-K-E-S. Max Jukes and his brother married sisters, and according to Dugdale's report, neither of them believed in Christian training. I don't know what he was. I don't know if he's a Methodist, a Baptist. I don't know what he was. I just know he knew about Christian training. Neither one in this family believed in Christian training. Between those two, over a 100-year period, they had 1,026 descendants. Because of their lifestyles, 300 of them died young. Many suffered poor health. Among the descendants, 140 served an average of 13 years each in prison. 100 were confirmed public prostitutes. 100 were confirmed alcoholics. Over a 100-year period, this family cost the state of New York $1.2 million in $1,874. You know, we were supposed to have a mighty seed, something God said, you know. And it takes work to do that. Second half of the report they talked about was a family named Edwards. Jonathan Edwards married a woman, he's a Christian, married a woman of like belief. They had 729 descendants among them. Of those, 300 were preachers, 65 were college professors, 13 were university presidents. It's an impressive list, you have to research. 60 were authors, 3 were congressmen, 1 served as vice president of the United States. With the exception of a grandson named Aaron Burr, who was hanged for treason, that family didn't cost the state of New York a single dollar. Two families lived at the same time. The Bible says we're supposed to be salt and light. So you just got to make your mind up. People say, well, you can't do it. And you just can't control a kid. And you can't control a teenager. And you can't control a thing. No, you can. You can. You not have to be arrogant or beat them or do something or abuse them. But you can. You got to use the Word of God. And you can. Well, we don't do that. You know, we're not going to go out. We won't be out at 2 o'clock in the morning. If he doesn't get you home by 11 o'clock, you're not dating him ever again. And we did that, man. It wasn't simple. There were fights. Well, Dad, we just lost track of time. This one night, a daughter wasn't home. I thought, well, she should have been here. Where are they at? You know. And so we're supposed to be spending the night, you know. And these calls. Well, Dad, we're spending the night. You gave us permission. If we got late, we'd spend the night at their house. So I call, and I call all the time. I got telephone. I love telephone. So I'm going to call the house, and nobody's at the house. Well, midnight. I'm supposed to be at the house. Where you at? I live out in the country. I live out in the middle of nowhere, down toward Haskell. We live on the side of a mountain, the end of a mile and 7/10 of dirt road. I live in the country on purpose. I don't want to see any neighbors. I grew up in the country. If I see my neighbor, I live too close to somebody. And so I drive to town. Sometimes I go to the house. Parents aren't there. Nobody's there. I thought, where are they at? So I called the niece, said, what do you think? I said, probably maybe they went to a late movie, Joe. I don't know. They weren't supposed to. They're not doing anything unless they ask permission. Now, I'll get permission, but you got to ask. So third movie theater, I finally found their car. So I went and I sat on the hood. So it's almost a quarter to two. I'm sitting on the hood of my truck in this parking lot eating me an ice cream. And all those kids came out. And so they're hollering. All of a sudden, and of course the kids, I'm the principal at school. Hey, Mr. McGee, what are you doing here? Eating ice cream. And so, you know, my daughter came out. Dad, what are you doing here? I'm looking for you. Now, it's almost 2 in the morning. This is not good. It's not good that I should be looking for you. And I didn't even have to say it. I said, well, say bye to everybody, sugar, and get in the truck. And said, well, my stuff's, no, you can get your stuff later. It's not important. Just get in the truck. I stayed real calm. I ate my ice cream all the way home. Didn't say anything. And she got home, and I didn't yell, didn't scream, didn't holler. I said, well, you go to bed. And said, then what are you going to do? Nothing. I'm just bringing you home. You know, you're supposed to have been in a home. You weren't in a home, so I'm going to bring you home. And so they always thought that I was going to blow up eventually, and I didn't. You got to learn how to parent. You got to stay calm. I hated the grocery store because we're a two-cart shopper. I hated the cereal aisle. I might as well walk through the valley of the shadow of death and take six kids down the cereal aisle. When I grew up, we had shredded wheat and cornflakes, oatmeal. That's it. There's no cereal aisle. There's three things right there. Get your stuff and let's go. Man, they can make more shapes out of oats and corn than you can imagine. There's a whole aisle of every kind of... So I would always tell the kids, get one box. One box. I don't care what it is. You decide among yourselves. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Learn to grow up. Decide. Well, they never could decide. They'd come out with six big boxes of something. Put it up. Get the oatmeal. Put it up. I don't have oatmeal. Put it up. Get the oatmeal. And so Denise is getting upset, and we've done it several times in a row, and so we're about to get out of the car one day. Joe, what are we going to do about the cereal? Okay. All right. What? We're going to eat oatmeal. No, Joe, we're going to have to teach them. You talk about teaching them, teach them something. We're all in the suburbanists, and I turn around and say, anybody got any paper back there? Tell me, get that piece of paper. Tear it up in six papers. Everybody put your name on a piece of paper. Get that cup. Get that empty cup. There's no cup in the back floorboard, and I shook the cup out. Put your name. Fold it up in here, and I shook it up. Draw a name out, Denise. Corey got the first one. Corey, you're number one. Jesse, your number. John was number six. John said, what's this mean? You're not picking your cereal for 6 weeks. And so Corey liked Cheerios. Just plain stick your finger in your throat Cheerios. Just plain Cheerios. And so she's got that big honking box, and so I don't care that much for Cheerios, but she's got it, and she gets to pick this week. She decides the cereal. I made a decision. So two of my kids are crying. We're getting checking out, and we got two grouchy groceries, and they're crying. What are you crying about? I don't like Cheerios. I don't either. You better suck them down quick. We'll be eating off of them for 2 weeks. And so maybe you just like to fast. We'll stretch it 3 weeks. I don't care. And so the next morning, they got cereal. Now, I only have one male. John is our youngest. And so, you know, we never knew what the babies were going to be. I figured after three females, I have no male genes in me. John popped out. I was thrilled. I got me a male child. And so John came to the table, and Denise always set the table the night before and got the cereal bowls out. We're going to have cereal next morning, getting ready to go to school. Everybody's dressed. Well, John comes to the table with a big Tupperware bowl. And Denise said, what are you doing? No, shut up. I got a male. Wait a second. He got to do something done here. So John entered the third box of those Cheerios in that bowl. Come on. Got me a male. Let's get her done, son. Get this thing going. And he poured about a fourth of a gallon of milk, and he's over eating away, and we're talking. I'm just bragging. I got myself a male. Bless God. We're going to get something done. So we got up and said, okay, we got to go. Load up. Kiss mom bye. So as I'm going out the door, I look back at his bowl, and it's still full of Cheerios. I thought, you little stinker. Baked me off, huh? I told him, put a lid on that. Put that in the refrigerator. Joe, they won't know. No, listen, I'll pre-soak a bowl tonight. Get them in the refrigerator. He's eating every one of them. So I forgot about it the next morning. So John comes to the table the next morning. He's got another empty Tupperware bowl. So, oh, no, son. Hey, we've got your cereal all fixed up for you. And so I went and got it, and I got that big bowl. It's been in the refrigerator all night. And I popped the lid on that thing. You ever remember Tupperware? It looks like somebody's puked in that bowl. And I said, now, son, I highly recommend you eat them today. But they're going to be worse tomorrow. So John's trying to choke him down, and the kids are crying. No, Dad, he's choking. He's blowing them through his nose. It's skanky. Shut up. Everybody eat your cereal. Shut up. John, you eat that. You better eat that. So John finally said, Dad, might be an excuse. Fine. Put a lid on it. I don't care if you soak it for a week. Put it in the refrigerator. Now, we have glass doors in our dining room, pane glass, so I could see the reflection of them. So I saw him go in their kitchen, set that bowl in the kitchen counter. He opened the refrigerator door, and he shut it back. I thought, what are you doing? And so I saw he took the lid off the blender and sitting on the counter. And he poured it, and what he done, he got the chocolate syrup. And put the lid on that, and he went, he drank it down. I said, my God, I've raised a genius. I have raised a genius, I tell you. You got to learn to let your kids solve their own problems. You really do. Because, you know, I realized I lost my wife for the first 16 years of my marriage because my house stole my wife. She became a housewife. My house don't need a wife. I need a wife. And I'm going to make the house give my wife back to me. So I gave my house to the kids. You are now house kids. So you're going to wash and dry everything. And Denise was upset. She said, well, they'll mess it up. But then they need to learn. They won't have that to wear anymore. You can't wash dry cleaning. It's going to mess it up. But it's two big square boxes. Honey, if they can run a 100 gig drive computer, they can run two square boxes with two buttons on it. They're going to wash. They're going to dry. They're going to mop. They're going to clean. They're going to hang stuff up. And man, it went great. I got my wife back. We started playing kissy face all over again. What is it we're waiting on? Well, I'll wait till they grow up. No. Train them now. When a Jewish child goes to bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, she's a girl. They do that at age 13. Jewish families celebrate the fact their child is an adult when they turn 13. We make our kids go to the bedroom. Go to your room. Go to your room. And what's in the room? We've turned their room into an apartment. They got their own TV and a CD player. They got their own video. They got everything. A bedroom is meant for one thing, sleeping. God intended a human to sleep a third of their life. So we stripped the bedrooms down early. What do you got in there? Bed. You got a bed. Got a bed and a dresser in the closet. Go to sleep, get up, get out, come downstairs. Got a big screen down here. Got a pool in the backyard, basketball court in the front yard. Got shooting range. You got baseballs hanging from trees and ride your motorbikes and have a good time. No, I'm not going to turn your bedroom into an apartment because what happens when you isolate your kid, the devil's going to be waiting on them. Where they get a stupid thought when they get by themselves. So I like three things. I'm over. I wanted my kids busy, tired, and happy. And so we violated everything most parents do. All of our kids played some sort of sport, a lot of sports. Denise and I'd be at two different fields some nights. Kids did softball here, baseball here. We got soccer going on. I said, we only have our kids one time. I'm going to wear the snot out of them. When they get home, I'm going to go to bed. Good. Praise God. Go to bed. But when you got a lot of spare time in your hand, that's not good. Never allowed spare time. So our holidays at our house, we have so many pictures, great pictures. Every holiday was a working holiday. Every Thanksgiving. We built retaining walls and Christmases, man. We cut trees forever, stacked firewood forever, man. And my kids, adult kids, even to this day, they understand. What's a holiday? It's a working holiday. We will work every holiday. Mom's going to feed us great, and as soon as supper's over, let's go outside, folks. We're going to do some stuff today. We're going to pour some concrete, build something, do something. So we made great memories off working. There's too many people with too much spare time. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Just need to get busy. Give them something to do. Encourage them. Stand up. Let's stand up. I'm going to give you three things to pray for this morning. It's real simple. I pray this every day. Lord, I ask you, now just pay attention, watch. I ask you to do three things. I'll lead you in just a minute. Teach my children to fear you. Surround my children with divine favor. Bring to my friends godly friends. I need my kids to fear you, not me. I need my kids to fear you. Fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. Number two, my kids need divine favor. Just like Daniel had it and Joseph had it, they were the wrong color, the wrong culture, the wrong language in a country that didn't like them. They ended up running the nations that tried to make them a slave. Daniel ran Babylon and Joseph ran Egypt. What happened? Favor. You walk with divine favor. I don't care who you are. Nobody likes you. Shut your face up. You walk with divine favor. I don't want to hear that come out of your mouth. Teacher doesn't like me and coach won't play. Shut your face up. You walk with divine favor. God said it. He lied. Did God lie? So you better show up. You better study. You better work out. You better do your practice drills. You do what you're supposed to do. Quit letting your mouth. Your mouth will kill you. You'll be 95. I never had a good life. My daddy left my mommy. My mommy didn't love me. My coach wouldn't pay me. Teacher wouldn't pass me. And you got those people, those sad thumb-sucking songs. Hell comes to everybody, guys. We're supposed to be more than a conqueror and an overcomer, but you do that with the Word of God. But if you don't know the Word of God, you have some sad story. We had to learn the hard lesson. No, there are going to be no thumb-sucking stories in our house. We're going to learn how to be an overcomer. We're going to fix this somehow. Amen, it works. Tests and trials come to everybody. There's nobody living in La La Land. This isn't Disney World. You can go visit it, but you don't live there. Test and try. What are you going to do? I get to overcome something every day. I figured somebody interviewed Jesus one time. I like to mention CNN being around. Like, Jesus, what you got planned today? What you doing? Well, I have a busy day planned. I'm going to put some eyeballs in a blind man's head down here this morning. I'm going to raise a dead kid at a funeral on my way out of town. Then we're going to have 5,000 Happy Meals out here on the hillside. I got a busy day. Jesus never lost his temper and cussed the blue streak. What are you going to do, Jesus? I'm here to whip hell. I'm in a hell whipping mode. I'm a hell whipping person. I'm looking for the gates of hell to kick some in. And so you have to, as a married person, or even if you're just thinking about getting married, you got to have the attitude. What are you going to get to do all your life? I'm going to whip me some hell. I'm a hell whip. Listen, when I was in the military, they hung stuff off your chest. I'm coming back from AIT. I've got the National Defense Ribbon. Now, I do have, I'm an expert with M16. Because it's easy to be an expert with M16 when nobody's shooting at you. Yeah, you learn once you get shot at. I'm not aiming at anything. So I'm sitting there with the National Defense Ribbon on because I'm just coming back from AIT. And I'm sitting out to this Marine. We're landing in Memphis, a lot of military bases. This young Marine come back from Nam. And so, man, very well dressed. Man, they got sharp uniforms. Man, he's got a rainbow hanging off his chest. And he caught me staring. I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to stare, but what's all that? I said, well, you know, it's all the campaigns I've been in. Got sent over here to whip them, and went over here and we whipped them, and we whipped them, whipped them. About got whipped here, finally whipped them, and we whipped them. And I sit there, I'm trying to be funny. It wasn't. I said, I signed up. And I thought on my way home, I said, somebody get me somewhere to put some stuff on my chest or get this uniform off of me. I was embarrassed. I took my dress green jacket off, carried it over my shoulder all the way home. I'm embarrassed. Get something on this chest. You don't want to get to heaven now. How was it? It's hard. My heart, man, my boss went and my late wife left and don't be hard. You're not going to be at the marriage supper. I'm sure they've got a card table somewhere in heaven. You're sitting at the card table with the kids. Go to heaven doing something. And what pastor has shared twice, your past is over with. Don't let anybody take you into your past. Don't take your spouse into their past. That's cheating. Don't take your kids into their path. You always do this. You've never done. Don't say that. That's not true. Well, we're going to change what we're going to do. We're going to do some different things. So say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. It sets me free. It keeps me free. According to your word, I ask you, teach my family to fear you. Surround my family with divine favor. Bring to my family godly friends. I consider it done in Jesus' name. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.